Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Over 100 episodes, almost 40 different ethnic backgrounds, living in almost 30 different countries. In just two seasons, the Niqabi Diaries podcast has brought you the stories of Muslim women across the globe, women united in sisterhood by their commitment to the Deen of Islam. Welcome to season 3 of the Niqabi Diaries podcast, where, inshallah, we will continue to bring you the stories of the women behind the veil. The Niqabi Diaries, our experiences, our perspectives, our voices. I'm your host, Samar, and thank you for listening. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Niqabi Diaries, and today we have Sister Aqsa with us, I think, inshallah. Sister, could you please introduce yourself for the listeners and tell us a little bit about what you do, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My name is Aqsa Nooran. And I am from Kashmir. So, alhamdulillah, the area I am from, it is a Muslim-dominated area. And matlab, when I began doing niqab, it wasn't much difficult for me for this reason. So I'm glad that as a society, I didn't have much pressure. And I nowadays, I am working as a dentist in a clinic. And it feels kind of okay. But the struggles were there and everything related to it. That I will, inshallah, discuss further.
Inshallah, inshallah. So, okay, so mashallah, you're from Kashmir, Alhamdulillah. So can you tell us about your journey to the niqab itself? You said that you're living in a Muslim area, mostly Muslim area. So would you say that your journey to the niqab is easy? And how did you come about wearing the niqab?
Yeah, sure. Look, as I said that I am from a Muslim majority area. So every person in their back of mind, they know that it is a part of our deen. But unfortunately, due to westernization or our concepts that are totally ruined by this literature or by the exposure to the fitna, people are not ready to accept this and apply this on their own. So when I was in this journey towards when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave me this hidayah, I literally never thought that I will put on niqab one day, because it was a novel concept for my family and all. But alhamdulillah, gradually as I went through the stages, I read more about the deen, and it appeared to me that it is one of the most important aspects that a woman is ordered in Surah Nur, in Surah Ahzab. So I couldn't, you know, stay away from it for a long time. So finally, I decided to put it on. And I initially, I thought that I will get a minimum bare resistance from my family. And it turned out to be the same. My parents, they till today, like it has been 1.5 years now, but they are still not happy with my this decision. And in fact, every day, every single day when I step out with niqab, my parents, either mom or dad, they are like, it's not necessary. It's not like part of deen. You are being extremist, or you represent yourself as a backward person, or an uneducated person. And the more initially I used to retaliate, and I used to be sometimes rash, but then I realized that by being rash, by retaliating furiously, I am doing, matlab, it's a sin. It's a kind of sin to argue back to your parents in such a way. So I can't do for a virtue, I can't sin. So I stopped doing that. I had no friends and or no guide who could guide me, you know, matlab, what should be your behavior. But still, alhamdulillah, it took a long time, like a year, to understand that they won't understand in such a way, and I have to deal with them with a different way. So I now, alhamdulillah, I don't retaliate, and I simply make them understand, and I make them understand that I am making an influence in the society also. It's not just limited up to the religion. In my workplace, alhamdulillah, I'm so glad that they are, the people are so supportive. The doctor I work with, the assistant, they are so supportive for this. And they, in fact, they praise me. So there I got this confidence level that No, I'm not doing anything that's totally unrelated to society or something too strange. So I made my parents understand, and now, Alhamdulillah, they are getting a bit better. I won't say that they're accepting in 100% because, according to them, if I wear niqab, I won't get good job opportunities. I won't get good, spouse. Astaghfirullah, because that's all the rizq of love, the rizq of wealth. It's all under control of Ar-Razzaq, our Khalik, the Allah.
Course.
But unfortunately, they don't understand this concept. So that was a struggle. And when this clash comes from your family, from your own parents, it's a little bit difficult to handle in the beginning. I just remember one day I used to write a diary, and I wrote there while I was just crying that why is this happening to me? I am doing is it such a wrong thing, or is why are they so much retaliating? So I wrote in there, Ya Allah, let me wear it in Jannah as well. I want it to be as a mark of victory. So that's kind of
SubhanAllah.
that stage is kind of close off to my heart, and it in a way, it develops a strong connection with this niqab. I have realized when people retaliate to the good you do, you are more inclined to it.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So, mashallah, sister, Allahumma barak, you've been really brave, actually, and it's definitely a struggle. And as a reader myself, I can understand like what you've gone through in this period, because when this is something that a lot of reavers experience when they become Muslim, especially, and you tell your family, and then they're not happy with it. You get this kind of going back and forth, and obviously they're not happy with the decision that you've made to do something, especially when it comes to, the fact that you're practicing something, religiously, and it's something that your parents haven't specifically taught you to do as well. So I can understand, like your experience now, and may Allah make it easy for you. I mean, but I wanted to
Amin,
just go
amin.
back to the beginning a little bit. Because obviously you're saying that even though you're coming from a Muslim majority area, your parents, they're not supportive at the moment of you wearing the niqab. So can you just guide us through the steps of how you actually started to seek that knowledge of Islam? Did you have anybody to kind of give you any guidance, or like where was you seeking your Islamic knowledge that brought you to this understanding that you would like to wear the niqab?
In the beginning, I had no friend. I would say a friend who would guide me, because I had a friend circle who were just like me. We just used to do niqab for sake of cultural reason. Since I grew up in schools too, here's everyone, they just do hijab. It's like normal. And in fact, the one who doesn't do hijab, that looks kind of strange. But a niqab and abaya, once you outgrow school, you go to universities, you go to college, and life changed completely. And since these past 5 6 years, there's complete transformation in the society. We see a complete Western culture, or I will say dress code. Small girls, starting from teen age or before, after it, they just wear jeans or anything. Like, they don't have concept of now hijab also. But when I was in school, 10 years back, there was this concept of hijab. Everyone performed did hijab, and Alhamdulillah, that was a good step, I think, for me, because when we are on one stage, it's very easy to go to the next stage. But then I went for college for my dental degree to another state, and that is a Hindu dominated state. So there, nobody did hijab, and it was that stage of my life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just gave me this hidayah, and things, they automatically became easier. I mean, I had never thought to do this full abaya or to cover myself, but and there, where I had no support, I did it. I don't know where from I got the courage or so, but it was, you can say, an instant decision. That I could feel, I didn't feel comfortable with people's eyes on me. It's as simple as that. Once I understood the verses, that why it is important, the background, and how much virtuous is it. So I couldn't take that glare and glances. I simply, one day, I decided to do abaya, and that was a challenge in itself in that institute, because we weren't allowed to do abaya. That was a strictly prohibited, and there was a dress code, a uniform, and we cannot wear abaya. But I faced it a little bit rejection, or you can say people, they just they scared me with this thing that you will get failed in examination and all, and
Oh
still
my
I was far away from the family, from home, and in a medical college it's very difficult to face. But Alhamdulillah, I didn't face any such thing. I turned that thing into motivation. I studied really hard because I was an average student in medical college. I was not too much into studies. But from that day, I gave my 100% to studies so that they didn't get any chance to fail me. So I think it was the blessing in disguise for me that it turned out so good that they had no chance to just fail me. So
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah, that went very fine. But after that, when I shifted back to my home place, and I was in my last year internship, I was doing in the hospital. And that time I got a little deviated. You know, when you come back, you find all other Muslim sisters, they are just like normal, and you feel like you are doing too much. So
Yes.
it was a kind of distraction. I thought that maybe I'm literally doing too much. I don't need to wear abaya in winters as well. I have an overcoat. It's okay. So that kind of distracted me for a few months. But then again, back when I there was a sister, a local sister, who used to give a sort of ijtima, you know, a gathering related to deen. So I attended that, and I just attended a few lectures. She was teaching us tafsir. So that got too much into my heart that I was so afraid. I remember she was teaching us Surah Naba, and there is a description, whole description of the Day of Judgment. And I got so scared that what if it happens tomorrow and I will die like this. So that was, you know, we just hear in stories that how earthquakes or such natural disasters, they change people. But that was the day for me. That time I decided that it's enough. The world, it will drown me more. So I simply, the next day I went to market. I bought a thing for me. I didn't know what is it called, a khimar, an abaya, a jilbab. I had no one, no friend who was matlab, in this line, who did niqab. So I got that thing, and today I know that that's a khimar. That day I didn't know what is it called. And I began to do it, and it was so suddenly, I mean, everybody was just like shocked, and someone was judging, someone was criticizing, others were appreciating. So I got a mixed response. But overall, Alhamdulillah, at a workplace, at college, it was okay. But the time I shifted back home, the real struggle began for me.
SubhanAllah. MashaAllah, sister. It's amazing that, you know, your journey, because it shows how actually a lot of people don't realize this, but often it's when Muslims come away from their so-called comfort zone, you could say, you know, you went, it was when you left your Muslim majority, you know, town where you've grown up, the place that you know, and you've gone to a place that is outside, where you have the opportunity actually to, even if you wanted to, go further away from the religion. But actually what happened was the opposite. It drew you closer to the religion, maybe because you felt that, you know, you started to really reflect on yourself and who you was at that time when you were separated from, you know, your people, basically.
Exactly. You know, I feel that the stories of prophets that we hear, we often neglect the message. Like the most popular story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam destroying the idols, we take it so neglected. But how deep rooted is that in our own society, that how can we retaliate to the things our family, our society, as a Muslim parents, they don't do, and they don't want their children to do. They think offering five times prayer, namaz, salah, five times a day, that is sufficient. Earning halal income, full stop. But applying each command and each hadith, they feel that as extremism. But as you said, that gave me a time for reflection, to self-analyze myself, and Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad it happened.
Alhamdulillah. So you mentioned that at your workplace you have support with wearing the niqab. So would you say that you know, it's been an overall positive experience, and you're working as a dentist, you work in a dentist clinic as well?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah, when I initially went there, so I was with this thing in my mind that I look extremist, I look backward, as my family used to tell me. But so initially they were just normal, and it was completely fine. I was completely okay. But then with time, I could realize that they appreciate this thing. I will give you an example. Once the doctor I'm working with, his daughters came to the clinic one day. They are very little. They are just 10 or 12 years of age. So they were without hijab. And it's completely normal. 10 years, girls with this age, they don't do hijab. No, but he just kind of scolded them lightly that why are you without hijab outside home? Look at Dr. Sahab, how she is, look at her dress code. That's how a Muslim woman should dress. So I was kind of, I can say I was shocked because I didn't expect such kind of behavior from the society.
SubhanAllah.
And since then, another female who is working with me, female doctor, she's senior to me, and she is a hijabi, but she's not a niqabi. So once we were having lunch, and I was having lunch with niqab, because I don't take niqab, there are males as well. So she said, it's very difficult for you to take lunch like that. And I said, yeah, it is, but I have no option. And she was like, you will get, inshallah, you will get very ajr for this. You don't know, it's a very virtuous deed. So those things, they just motivate you. Otherwise, you know you are doing this for sake of Allah, whether people accept or reject or praise or whatever. But when someone, a simple kind word, a simple gesture, it just turns your heart. And Alhamdulillah, I'm so glad for that.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. So, and what about the clients that come in, you know, the patients that come into the clinic as well? Has there been, has it been positive with them too?
Yeah, Alhamdulillah, it has been totally positive. Because as I said, somewhere everybody in their back of mind, they know that this is the real dress code. Because as a Muslim majority state, we have been learning, studying this since AIDS. And if you know about Kashmir, it's called as the Valley of Saints. So we were in fact more religious before these 200, 300 years. Since the Europe took over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a rich religious background. So everybody has this in mind. And I have never faced any such issues that being a niqabi, I am less than others at clinic. They are equally, they treat me as equal or as normally as other doctors. And I have never faced any such thing. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So on that note, would you describe the niqab as being a barrier? And if so, in which sense?
As a barrier, I would say yes. Of course, I feel it is a barrier, but it's a barrier against sins. Because I would say that in this journey, even if I wouldn't have been a niqabi, who knows what things my parents or this society would disregard or what would they not like. I would always be not enough for them or too much for them. So I don't think niqab as a barrier. Alhamdulillah, it is a barrier, but against the sins. Because whenever I put a niqab, it is an immediate reminder that I am now at this level when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided my heart. If I fall into the traps, it would be a shame. Mm-hmm. So it's a reminder. It's nothing like I being a niqabi, I don't sin. It's nothing like that. We all sin, and that's a part of our human nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that if you wouldn't have sinned, I would replace you. So I'm not saying that I don't sin or like that, but of course, the frequency or the intensity has decreased. You know, when in our society, it's so mixed gatherings are so normal. Making friends with opposite gender or anything like that. But when you are a niqabi, other person gets this idea that what is your mindset and how to deal with you. Otherwise, we are totally influenced by the West culture, by the series, the things this generation watches on Netflix and YouTube. They don't understand this fact that it is haram in our religion. And we have certain barriers, and those barriers are to protect ourselves spiritually and physically. So it has been a barrier, but Alhamdulillah, only for sins. And for a timely, it has been a barrier against my parents. But now, Alhamdulillah, it's again getting back to track. Since they are realizing the fact that this is not a criteria to judge someone. Mm-hmm. And I made them this understand that how rizq is in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is guiding their hearts as well.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah, inshallah. And I think it's one of those things that they just have to, inshallah, they will get used to, but it does take time, you know, especially with your parents. But you know, may Allah, you know,
Inshallah.
preserve them and, you know, make it easy for
Amin.
them. I mean,
Amin, sister.
So would you say, sister, that in your area, like where you live and in your experience, do you think that sisters who wear the hijab get treated differently from the sisters who wear the niqab?
Yeah, maybe, but difficult to do niqab in a society, because everyone is used to their, it's not an exception being a niqabi here. You know, we see a lot of girls doing niqab in on roads, or because in our matlab, in our state there are very madrasas, matlab religious schools.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls who study there, they are always seen in niqab. And but the upper class, as you would say them, the elite group of the people who have enough money or enough riches, so their mindset kind of deviates. You know, they look at these things as inferior, and there's a gap between the niqabis, as you say, because they usually, the 90% of the niqabis are from the middle class, or you can say from the poor class. So the elite, in elite class, we really had, I have not seen any niqabi until the recent 1 or 2 years, since this evolution of niqab has happened, and the girls are more, you know, kind of attracted towards deen, because it is the real solution, and the more you study about it, the more you fall into love with it. So now it's kind of, the barrier is not so much. The niqabis are treated well here, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah, mashallah. So have you met any sisters who've been forced into wearing the niqab?
I thought about it, but I had no idea about a sister who was forced to do niqab. I think in today's society, parents are more than happy if their daughter, she just flaunts herself, because they think it will bring her good fortune. I don't know for what reason. But I have not seen some parents forcing their child to wear niqab in today's times. But on the contrary, I have seen parents who want their daughters to take off the niqab or even hijab also. I am from a small town, but the girls from the city, from the adjacent city, we are friends with them. So they tell that when they started to wear hijab, only hijab, not just niqab, their parents, their Muslim parents, they were against it. So unfortunately, the conditions here are opposite as that of the West world.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So I was going to ask you if you know any sisters who really want to wear the niqab, but they're not allowed to wear it.
Okay, you want me to give an advice to her?
Well, you could do, but I mean, I'm just asking in general, because I mean, you've just mentioned that some parents, they prefer their daughters to not even wear the hijab. So do you know, okay, do you know of any sisters personally, or have any sisters who...
Yeah, I know them. I know them personally, but you know, since 1 or I think 2 years, I have been more active on Instagram. So I met those sisters through it. Mm-hmm. I don't know them personally, but they are from my area. So they share their experiences that how did you do niqab? Because seeing a doctor doing niqab, is it's really different in this society. I have personally met hardly in this journey 2 or 3 doctors who do niqab. So being a Muslim majority state, you would matlab imagine more doctors wearing niqab, because it's a part, an important part. It's not a choice, it's a compulsion. But still, I have in throughout my studies and my practice, I have just seen 2 or 3 female doctors who do niqab. So most girls, they ask me this question, how did you get this confidence, or is it possible for us also to practically do this? So that's how I came to know that there are parents are the first hindrance that a girl faces in this journey, because they have their genuine reasons, their genuine worldly reasons, I would say, because the society, as I say, the elite class, they think that these girls, these are maybe uneducated, or they don't have the sense of the world. They are from, you know, from some different era. So these things they keep in the mind, but alhamdulillah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides your heart, and you just need a motivation, someone to say, no, it's possible. In fact, it is better for you.
Yes, subhanallah. And subhanallah, it's interesting that you, you know, touch upon these points as well, because definitely the parents, they do have their own reasons. And you know, we obviously want to believe that our parents are sincere. These are the people that have, you know, brought us into this world, and they do want the best for us. So even though sometimes maybe they're not going about the things the in the correct way, they're having good intentions towards us. So that is another reason that we need to try to be as patient with them as much as possible.
Indeed, yeah, you are totally right, sister.
Inshallah.
We have to be patient.
Yes, Fama. So have you had any experience traveling at all with wearing the niqab? Have you been abroad, or even in the country, in your country itself, in India? Have
Yeah.
you traveled? How has your experience been?
Yeah, while traveling via airport, I would describe that because when you go via road, it's not much of any concern for other people. But since on airport, they have to check, they have to look at your face, you know, and match that with your identity card. And
Yes.
that is all I had to face. I didn't have any international trip since then, but during domestic flights, they just twice or thrice I had to pull down my niqab, and I don't feel offended by that because that
Yes.
They need to check it out, the identity card with my face. And but I would be more than happy if that would have been a female, or if I would have been from an Muslim country like the Middle East or the Saudi. Maybe there they have this system, but here a male checks our face and match that with it. But it's kind of okay because we don't have any other option, or they don't offend us, or they don't treat us like that way. It's kind of normal. But I have heard stories of women saying that on international flights from the big cities where Muslims, they are like in minority, they mistreat the woman in niqab. I personally have not experienced that, but I have heard stories about it, that they mistreat the woman, they don't give them the due respect, or in fact they abuse them with their language, kind of the foul language. Even if they are traveling to any big country like Saudi, Dubai, anywhere, but it is there. Being in a Muslim majority state, we have this advantage, but being in a Muslim minority state, they have to face it.
Yes, subhanAllah. Because I've been hearing as well, obviously online. I don't spend too much time on social media, but I've been seeing a lot of things about Muslims having some problems in India at the moment with the with regards to just the hijab in general, not being able to get into their schools and things like that. So, you know, is it are you referring to these kind of things? Is it specific areas that this kind of thing is happening?
Yeah, actually, it began with a specific area, but now it is covering like huge part of this country, almost every state. And in fact, even in those states where it is not happening right now, the parents or the school authorities are so frightened or scared of being Muslims that they are themselves telling their students or daughters to uncover their heads, to niqab, let it be. They are even telling their daughters to take off the hijab in itself. So this is the biggest struggle for them, I think, at this moment, because hijab, it's not a choice, but still, due to fear of the government, or fear for their life, or fear for their careers, they have to do this, which, according to me, is totally wrong. There are girls, one of my friends is from Delhi, the capital city of India, and she is facing the same thing. Her parents are not allowing her to wear hijab at this moment because they think that everybody will know that she's a Muslim and they will harm her. But she's
SubhanAllah.
not willing to do that.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy for her and strengthen her
Yeah,
in you.
sister, please make dua for us.
Yes, SubhanAllah. It's really difficult, and it just reminds me of you know, when I was well, when I first became Muslim actually, and I went to university, I met a sister from Syria, and she wasn't wearing the hijab. And when I was talking to her, she was saying that in Syria she always used to wear the hijab and everything, you know, how much she loves it and she misses wearing it. And I said to her, well, why aren't you wearing it? And she said to me that, you know, she took it off because when she got a placement in the university in the UK, her parents told her that she shouldn't wear the hijab to the UK because if she does, she'll get, like, you know, picked on and, you know, bullied or something like that. That, you know, people get abused for wearing the
Exactly.
niqab, for wearing the hijab itself, not even the niqab in the UK, subhanAllah. So yeah, it was just
And same
quite sad. So it's like, you know, and the thing is, it's there's a saying, start as you mean to go on. So her being in a new country and she came without wearing her hijab, you know, I think, I mean, Wallah alam, what happened to the sister, because I didn't keep in contact with her. But it's like when you start out something a particular way, especially you start like a new job or a new school, and you start with one look, it's hard to transition in that same place and change your whole look completely. And I really respect those sisters who've managed to do that, because it's difficult, because it's like you have to explain when you change your look. It's almost like people are going to be looking like at you, like, oh, well, you wasn't like that before, and then you get a lot of questions, so you have to deal with that.
Sure. You are totally right. We need to address these things, and we need to work on it as well.
Sister, what advice would you give to other sisters who like you? Well, actually, what advice would you give to sisters who would like to wear the niqab as well, but they feel afraid to wear it? Well, they don't feel comfortable.
So this question is very close to my heart, because in the beginning, in the struggling phase, when I was in a fine line between to decide whether to put on niqab or not, I desperately searched YouTube, Instagram for any niqabi sisters. But unfortunately, then you sisters and the other niqabi sisters, I was not aware about them. Lately, after starting niqab, I found them and got so much motivated. So this question holds an important place, because whenever I find a girl struggling or dealing with such issues, I put myself to her, so that she understands and she knows what are the pros and cons. So my first advice to her will be to be confident and be sure that you are doing this thing only for sake of Allah, fi sabil Allah. Because if that is her primary reason to do niqab, she will never feel discouraged to the extent to remove it. No doubt there are ups and downs in iman, in motivation, but if it is 100% for sake of Allah, we can feel discouraged, but never so discouraged that we will remove it. And second thing is that sisters who try to put on niqab, who are struggling with it, please try to acquire full knowledge about it. We have got so much good books about the issue, and much literature is also available in English. All the Arabic literature has been translated into English. The Ideal Muslimah, it is so, just a few hadith and few ayats of Quran are quoted that give a precise description how important and necessary is it. So I would advise to be confident, acquire knowledge, and do it for sake of Allah. So this will motivate you more. And personally, I call niqab as a game changer. In my journey to Deen, it was a game changer, because I was constantly struggling to cut off or, push myself away from the sins, and that wasn't happening. But niqab, to a very extent, I can say that almost 90% sins, I'm just stepping out of them, because I consider myself as responsible. I think that people will look up to me, and that in a sense opens a door for for thinking that even Allah is watching over me. So it kind of creates an idea that I should not fall into the traps of shaitan very easily. So if you are struggling, please do not delay. Do not let waswasa of shaitan to enter your heart. Just do it, but with full knowledge, and get connected to the like-minded sisters wherever you find them, in your neighborhood, in neighborhood mosque, on internet, or like this thing you are doing. I really appreciate this thing. May Allah bless you for this. We need much sisters to get connected to it. We need sisterhood to develop, because that's very weak in our ummah these days. So by these kind of things, if we connect to each other, we will motivate each other, and inshallah, that will be fruitful.
Inshallah, inshallah, Allah Mubarak, sister, mashallah. You gave some very beautiful and sound advice there, mashallah. So to end the interview, sister,
Jazakallah.
I'll ask you, what does the niqab mean to you?
What does the niqab mean to you? Okay, so basically, firstly, I will describe niqab as a part of my identity. As being a Muslimah, it is a part that shows, that is visible to the world. My heart, the level of my iman and my taqwa, or my virtues or my sins, nothing, world can see nothing except for Allah, but this thing that I carry on my face is a part of Quran and ayah. As we know, Allah has directly ordered Muslim women to do niqab. So I feel this is a part of my identity. And this represents who I am. This represents that I am a slave of Allah rather than a slave of nafs or a slave of society. And secondly, niqab for me is a blessing. As I have mentioned this already many times, that I have stopped or quitted, or the intensity and frequency of certain sins have decreased since I have put on niqab. So I consider niqab as a blessing for me and a constant reminder that this is for sake of Allah and I have to get better day by day. So alhamdulillah for niqab, I am so happy that Allah chose me and my heart to be guided with this thing.
Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barik, sister. May Allah put much blessing in your, what you do, and keep you strong and firm upon the niqab. Ameen.
Ameen, ameen, sister. Allah bless you too.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair for joining us today, and jazakallah khair for the listeners. And inshallah, please share and like and follow. And, you know, so we continue to do this work, alhamdulillah, because I think it's really important that, you know, as sisters, we have our own voices and speak up for ourselves and share our stories and, you know, talk about why we follow Islam, why we love this religion.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I agree with you. Inshallah, I will.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister.